Here an area school district who's looking very hard at what school is going to look like come fall. Jamie Kane. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Always good to talk with you.
Appreciate you being here with us this morning. You're putting together an advisory committee that's going to look at reopening schools. Tell us a little bit about this committee and what some of the challenges are.
Yeah, certainly. Well, first and foremost, the challenge is we don't know what we're going to be able to do as far as how we deliver instruction starting this fall, you know, whether we can be back face-to-face with all of our kids at one time like we normally would do, if we're going to have to stagger that out, are we going to have to bring in smaller numbers of our students at one time and potentially have a portion of our students learn online while they're not at the schoolhouse. The other thing is we have to go back to 100% virtual delivery model, which, you know, we think is good for some students, but it's certainly not the one-size-fit-all model. And so really the biggest challenge I think the committee's facing has to do with how are we going to be able to deliver the instruction. And certainly, as you've been mentioning, you know, the governor is going to come out soon and give us some guidance on that. We expect to hear within the next 2 weeks some guidance from her council that she put together. Certainly she's been saying back to school face-to-face should be a reality, but we don't know exactly what that looks like. Then we expect to hear from the Michigan Department of Education some guidance in July. So those are some of the challenges. Obviously, safety and security of our staff and students, if we are back in school face-to-face, is a significant challenge for us. We'll be ready to meet it, but what does that look like? What precautions must we take, may we take? You know, I think that's what always it comes down to is what shall we do or what may we do? And then ultimately our board will have to decide, you know, do we put in extra precautions beyond the state minimum? So a lot of things unanswered at that time. But what I'm really thankful for is the committee we put together locally. It is made up of three board members, administrators, teachers from every level across the district. We have all of our union leadership from across all employer groups. Our maintenance guys are represented, our secretarial group, our paraprofessionals. We also have parents on that committee. So we really wanted to bring together a 360 lens of people impacted, frankly, by everyday, you know, school life and start having them be at the table with us for conversations. So that's what the committee's task is, to look at these models, make recommendations, and then we hope by no later than the end of July, we'll be able to start communicating out to our community, you know, what that model will be and how it will work.
Of course, the school year starts a couple months from now, but there's a lot that goes on during the summer, too, that we kind of forget about. But that's when, you know, football camp begins, band camp, all those things to get ready for the coming school year. Is that happening this year? What's going on as far as any of those extracurricular summertime activities?
Yeah, great question. So we are very happy that last week we were able to start allowing our teams and our band students and, you know, some of their back to normal activities for the summer. I think, you know, given where Michigan is with COVID right now, a lot of restrictions, as you know, were able to be lifted. And that certainly impacted us in a positive way. So our athletes are back with, you know, proper protocols in place, training right now, doing their team camps. Our band students are coming back. They're going to have their camp with some restrictions and with some safety measures built in. But we certainly are, you know, allowing that to take place. We're doing things outdoors. We're not indoors at this time. Of course, on a day like today, everybody's, you know, shuffling and changing their plans. But we're getting back to some normalcy for our kids, which I think is really, really healthy and critical. And, you know, we are hopeful that fall sports will take place. We haven't had any official word on that yet and what that might look like, but certainly allowing our athletes and our extracurricular activities, our band students, you know, all of those types of things to restart with restrictions, all points to a good possibility that fall activity will take place.
What about the class of 2020? Is there going to be any kind of a graduation ceremony for the graduates?
Yeah, you know, one thing that we did was we talked with our principals, and I talked with quite a few of our seniors and our leaders from across all of our buildings. And what they stressed to me, and I wanted to hear from them, was we really want to wait this out and try to have face-to-face commencement. You know, a lot of folks have been doing virtual ceremonies, drive-in ceremonies in their cars, and those things are great. And everybody has to do what they feel in their community is appropriate. But our kids really said, we'll wait until August. They even said, we'll wait until next, you know, Thanksgiving break and come home if we have to. It's that important for us to have time with our friends and classmates and time with our teachers. And so, you know, we listened to that. We started to plan a lot of different options, but we're thrilled to say that we will have in-person commencement at Memorial Stadium for all of our graduates. And we have a plan that's been approved by our local health officials. We also, you know, had our attorney general at the state level weigh in on it. And with the restrictions that have been eased about gatherings and size of the gatherings, we're going to be able to run Port Huron Northern's commencement on Tuesday, July 7th. We're going to be able to run Port Huron High School's commencement on Wednesday, July 8th. And then Harrison's graduation will be Thursday, the 9th. The 9th will also allow us to have kind of a makeup day for those students that, and families that maybe couldn't make it the 7th or 8th. Or we don't want to talk about rain, but if we have a need for a rain date, the 9th can serve as that as well. And we're really going to stagger it, Paul. So, for example, instead of one ceremony, for each one will begin, we'll have a session at 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. We'll bring in smaller groups of students. We'll allow up to four family members to be a part of that. And, you know, we are going to have as much as a normal commencement as possible at Memorial Stadium and really honor our graduating class of 2020. And I think we're all thrilled that we could have a somewhat traditional commencement in this crazy time.
Absolutely. Good for those students, because they, boy, have they had to be flexible. I mean, all students have, but especially seniors. This is what you look forward to your whole school career, and then to have it kind of pulled out from under you. It's been a rough time for those kids.
These kids, you know, they're never going to forget this experience. And, you know, we know our kids are resilient, and we know that they can adapt and flex really well. But, you know, you just hate that they lost so many things that we all traditionally have looked forward to as that final, you know, capstone of that K-12 experience. And they lost a lot of those pieces. But, you know, I think we've tried. Our teachers have been great. Our principals have been great. I think we've tried to do all we can to still make it special for them. And, you know, that day, I think, is going to have those days coming up are going to have an extra special feeling for everybody that we do get to honor them and celebrate them, even if it's not in a conventional fashion.
Absolutely. We're talking with the superintendent of Port Huron Area School District, Jamie Kane. Jamie, the school board met last night, and on the agenda was a resolution to eradicate racism and create more equitable and inclusive schools for all children. Tell us a little bit about this proclamation.
Yeah, I'm really proud of our Board of Education for saying, you know what, we need to make a statement, and it needs to be a proactive statement. Obviously, everyone knows what's going on in our world right now, especially in our country. And, you know, the district put out a statement a few weeks ago about the fact, simply put, we won't tolerate racism. And we have to learn. We have to be better. We have to listen more. And we have to really improve our systems. And our Board of Education certainly felt that was a priority for them as well. And so what they did was pass a proclamation last night really indicating that they were going to intentionally ask us as administration and them as governance leaders to really make sure we're reviewing our entire way that we do school, look at our curriculum, look at our practices and policies, and really do what we can to look at, you know, racism and just say we're not going to tolerate it. And, you know, how does that then impact our day-to-day life in the school system? When we talk about equity and inclusivity, the Port Huron Schools has been on a journey the last 4 to 5 years where we have had you know, 4 or 5 of our schools fully immersed in equity training. We've had our schools learning more about how to be inclusive and really understand our differences and support our diversity within our school district. So I would tell you that we've been proactive in this regard in the district, but in the next breath, I would tell you that we have a lot of work to do. And one of the biggest things we need to do is listen. We need to listen and learn from our Black community. We need to listen and learn from anyone who represents diversity and really make sure that our school district is a mirror of our society and that we're helping all of our students and our families feel included and they have equitable access to resources. and certainly that there's not mistreatment taking place. And so it's a big proclamation, and I'm proud of our board for taking that on. And what it really means in practice and action is we're going to listen more, and we're going to review and look at, you know, just everything we're doing and where can we get better and how can we grow. And we certainly welcome our community's input on that. And I think you'll see over the coming months some very intentional actions that will allow us to learn and listen and continue to improve the district.
Absolutely important. Good stuff, Jamie. Appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great, Paul. Thank you.